141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard as we build up to the start of the new league season in Scotland. Rangers round off their pre-season with a win against Real Madrid at Ibrox. Celtic off to Denmark for Champions League qualifying on the back of a 6-2 friendly defeat at home to West Ham. And there are some tasty ties in the next round of the League Cup after the group stages reached their conclusion over the weekend. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Andy Halliday and Mark Wilson.
Well, most of the work should be done for the sides going into the opening weekend of the season. Some sides look in better shape than others. Rangers obviously beating Real Madrid yesterday. Celtic struggling in a pre-season friendly against West Ham at the weekend, but have to overcome Michelin before they face Hearts on Saturday. Looking forward to this week, all the build-up that comes with it and the games at the weekend.
To say I'd miss used to would be a lie, but I certainly miss domestic league football, so it's good to be back. It's been a long summer supporting our national side, which was fantastic, but it's also good to get the domestic league football back, and it's all kicking off at the weekend.
It's good to be back. I was going to say I forgot my way here, but after doing it a few hundred times every season for the last few years, that's never going to happen. But we are back. We're here in the 2 hour format, here until 8 o'clock. All the usual fun of the fair, the calls, the beat the pundit, the full time teaser, all here. Mark Wilson, and of course building up to the start of a new campaign. As Andy says, it was a summer with a difference. We actually had some vested interest in an international tournament, and now we're back looking forward to the real stuff.
Yeah, it's been a great summer, you know, being involved with the Euros, doing the shows live with you guys. It's been outstanding. But you always look forward, Gordon, to the start of the season and the preparation that the teams go through, who they've signed, who could be incoming. And like I said, well, some look better prepared than others. As I say, Celtic have a lot of work to be done. And they've got a preparation for this game coming up, this Champions League qualifier, to get through before they even turn their attentions to Andy Halliday's Hearts on Saturday.
0141 951 1025, that's the number you need. I have missed you, I've missed every one of you. Not Andy Halliday or Mark Wilson, certainly not Gordon Dalziel or Hugh Keevans, who I'm sure we'll get to in the coming days, but I've missed you lot. So pick up the phone and let us know what's on your mind. 0141 951 1025. That is pre-season officially over, if you like. So what did you learn? Have the performances made you excited about the new season? Have they made you dread the new season? Or do you just brush it aside and say it's only pre-season? How much does it matter? Mark Wilson, always like this period of the year, right? Because if you get a terrible result, you can go, ah well, shrug the shoulders, it's only pre-season. But if you get a brilliant result, you say, look how good we are, we're going to win the Champions League. So where's the truth?
Well, yeah, somewhere in between. Like, I've been involved in these many times over the years, and I've had my fair share of mixed results. I've been in pre-season. Look, for example, I remember 2006, joined Celtic, my first pre-season away, and it was a real eye-opener. We were absolutely woeful. We got beaten badly, beat at that. We travelled over a few countries, right enough, which took its toll. We came back. I don't think we were really impressive when we came back either. And we were getting hammered in the newspapers, and rightly so, because we didn't look in good shape at all. We then went on to win the league and win it quite easily. So, you know, I kind of learned my lesson in looking into pre-season too much. However, I've had it on the opposite side, where we've had a great pre-season. I think it was under Tony Mowbray. We were excellent, and I think everybody will remember how that ended. You know, we were absolutely woeful when the serious stuff started. So you can look into it too much. However, I would say the final game before the league starts, at the final weekend, you usually try and play what would be your strongest team or what you're thinking about playing the following Saturday. And, you know, looking at Celtic's performance at the weekend, yes, they have a lot of problems with personnel and injuries and maybe suspensions and people that missed the game. But Ange Postecoglou would have been trying to pick his best side to prepare as best as possible, and they came undone badly. So a lot of work to be done, I'm sure. Andy and his Hearts side would have, you know, certainly watched that game. Now, of course, a different game on Saturday when it comes, but the players should be up to speed now, and some of them look still off the pace, and I think that's the worrying thing.
Well, that's what I'm hoping we're going to achieve between now and 8 o'clock, Andy. Looking at, you know, what we learned from pre-season, if you can learn anything, you know, what can you learn? And actually this weekend is almost the perfect example of that. If you're a Celtic fan who cares a lot about the performance at the weekend, you're very worried about the season ahead, or you might just shrug it off and say it's only pre-season and things will be fine. And over the other side of the city, Rangers, if you're saying, oh well, it's only pre-season, who cares? Or we just beat Real Madrid, who cares if they were under strength? This is going to be a tremendous season. We look in good shape.
Yeah, I mean, I think the mindset going into a pre-season is, of course, it could be a new squad, new players. You're trying to integrate maybe a new system, a new style of play. But I think everyone always has the feeling that winning's a habit. So you want to get into that habit of winning games early on in pre-season and still try to implement and integrate a certain style of play going into the season. But it can also be a confidence booster or a confidence wrecker. I mean, Mark just told a story there. I remember first season in the SPL under Matt Warburton, we went to Leipzig in January. It was at the winter break. And listen, we weren't doing great at the time, but we were doing okay. And Leipzig were top at the Bundesliga, absolutely flying. And we got the run around for 90 minutes. And I remember the changing room after the game, genuinely feeling as if you've lost a cup final. I think we lost 4-0, got absolutely battered. And it felt like a confidence drainer. And listen, I'm not comparing that to what Celtic obviously went through in the West Ham game, but what it did though is it probably showed a lot of deficiencies that they had last year, certainly defensively. I mean, pre-season or not, if you're at a big football club, the fans still want to see you go out and perform, whether it's a pre-season game or an Old Firm game. And I think what it did is highlight that Celtic have still got certainly a little bit of way to go. Listen, the manager's only been in a few weeks, I'm sure, from now to the end of August, he'll still be trying to look to strengthen Celtic's squad. But I certainly think it would be disappointing in Celtic fans' eyes having watched the game.
Right, come on then, let's hear from you. 0141 951 1025. Pre-season is over. What did you learn? Have the performances made you optimistic about the new season, pessimistic, or neither, because it's only pre-season? Whatever you're feeling, whatever you're thinking ahead of the new league campaign, pick up the phone and let us know. Of course, the beauty of Scottish football in 2021, that's only part of the story, because the League Cup, the group stages are done. We look forward to the knockout phase. European qualifying is already up and running as well, so there's a few extra ingredients to add to the mix, but we want to hear from you. We are back for the full 2 hours here until 8 o'clock with Andy Halliday and Mark Wilson. 0141 951 1025, or indeed on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Is this always, I mean, like I said, Andy, it's different now. You guys have just come through a League Cup campaign. How different is this then, this pre-season, compared to the traditional idea that we have?
Yeah, I think it splits opinions. I think a lot of people quite like it because you get into competitive football really early. My sort of, not issue, but the thing I don't really like is that we're talking about Rangers and Celtic in pre-season friendlies. I mean, what a test it is to go and Rangers play Brighton, Arsenal, Real Madrid, Celtic, West Ham. Forgive me, I can't really remember another cup, but they've played high-profile friendlies. Albeit we're in competitive games early, but you know, you're going from a big jump, with all due respect to Peterhead, Cove, Rangers, Stirling, Albion, to then go play Celtic in the first game of the season. So, but listen, we've been in a long period of time. We've been in since the 14th of June, so we've certainly had plenty of time to work on what we're going to do from now to the start of the season.
That's
so
a long pre-season.
It is a long pre-season.
14th of June.
It certainly is a long pre-season, but I mean, it is a good way, because nobody likes running, certainly when you're going back to pre-season. So it is good, the fact that you're getting in nice and early with the games. But you know, it's a big step up, let's just say, for the League Cup campaign going into Celtic in the first game.
Are you excited about this season, Mark Wilson?
I am. I mean, look, for a number of years now, we all stood, or the majority stood in this studio, and we just ticked off Celtic to win basically everything. Last season, you know, things were tipped in our head. Not many has predicted what happened last season and the drama that accompanied the performances on the pitch from Celtic and Rangers. There was a huge improvement with Rangers, a huge decline from Celtic. I'm excited to see how Ange Postecoglou does when he's given a chance. Now, I think it's important that he is given a chance and the proper structure and support round about him in terms of getting signings in and implementing his style of play and what he could bring and the challenges that that may bring to Rangers. And equally, you know, for Hearts, you know, back in the league, and you know, Charlie Mulgrew back at Dundee United, and seeing you know, familiar faces back in the league. It's an exciting lineup that we've got. A couple
mean,
of derbies
you
in
mean
there.
Guys of your age are still playing, but yes, you're going to be stuck in here.
That's what I meant. I wish I could still be out there. I'm glad. It's the one time a year I'm I'm glad I miss pre-season, but when the games
especially
kick off
this
on
weather,
Saturday,
imagine your complexion trying to handle
dreadful,
this weather.
No, terrible. It's hard enough walking through the car to this studio.
It's crazy because we crave the weather in Scotland, don't we? We can't wait till we can get a summer holiday to go and celebrate the sun. But well, I can't wait till it's raining again. To play enough, football enough. Gordon, come on. It's just this is it's good radio weather for me right now.
And what about you, Andy? Because I'm asking you to do this with your pundit hat on and a kind of overview. But then, you know, I guess you won't be able to take your personal feelings out of it. Looking forward to what we've got ahead of us for the next 10 months or so.
Oh yeah, can't wait. You know, a big factor why I can't wait for the season as well is it seems as if we're starting to get fans back into the stadium,
absolutely,
albeit at a slow rate. But something that I'm really looking forward to, having not played in front of any sort of crowd for 18 months. And although, you know, at Tynecastle we've only had 2,000 for the last home games, it just the difference, it's just it's hard to put any words. Listen, fans don't help you pass it in Maroon, do you know what, but they certainly give you that extra 10%
energy.
They
let you know when you don't know.
Oh, they certainly let you know, especially when it's only 2,000. You can hear everything, but it certainly gives you that extra 10% adrenaline and energy. And you know, I'm sure, you know, going on in the first game of the season, that might even have a few more in the stadium, so I'm looking forward to it.
Andrew made a good point the other last week by saying a lot of players.
I
never forget about you. Come on.
Unbelievable.
But he made the point that some of these players have never played in front of their home crowd before.
We were chatting about
Doy at Hibs. You know, young boy, terrific season. Yeah. He never played in front of his crowd before, so exciting stuff.
Right, I think we've got John Paul on the phones. Let's see if we can speak to him. Hi, John Paul. And I guess not. Silence.
Oh, see, John Paul's at the back enjoying the sun.
People are going to think that I've forgotten how to press the buttons because I've
been
off for so
back.
Long. Get Andrew back. That guy never had a problem.
He didn't have
the
problem.
But generally, I'm sure we do have John Paul somewhere, and I'll speak to him in the very near future. It's 01419511025 if you want to join in. I mean, it's going to be that unavoidable theme every week. Is going to be fans back. Last year, I felt like every week for the first few months we spoke about not having fans, but it's going to be the opposite, and it just adds so much. I happened to go along to Fir Park at the weekend. I went to see Motherwell against Annan, and as Andy says, small number, no jokes about it being a larger number than usual.
How many were there?
A couple of thousand.
Yeah.
And it was great. It was brilliant to hear noise. There was a couple of boos on 20 minutes when someone passed the ball backwards. 0-0, 20 minutes gone. Ball went backward. Boo.
Yeah, normal so, service resumed.
I think the standards are going to be even higher this year because fans are just so desperate
well,
to get
listen,
back
in. Well, I'll bring an edge to it. It was great seeing, you know, well, Celtic Park last Wednesday or Tuesday, 9,000. Then that grows again at the weekend. Same with Ibrox, you know, it grows at the weekend, and hopefully in the not too distant future will have near capacities in. But for the I think for the players it makes such a difference. It just makes, you know, adds that little bit of extra edge to those games, that little bit of spice. And when we get round to the big games, well, when is it 29th August, Celtic v Rangers, who knows how much we'll have in the stadiums there, but we certainly missed it. Daz said that when he went to Celtic Rangers last year, the first game, no crowd, certainly made a difference. Yeah. But fingers crossed they're back soon.
Right, 01419511025. I think so many people must be phoning since it's the first 2 hour show back. I think you've jammed the phone lines, but we'll get to you in the very near future. Let's hear from a couple of the managers who'll have things on their mind. We're asking you about pre-season. What did you learn? Can you learn anything? Is it just pre-season? Is it only pre-season? Or have you seen performances that have got you excited or worried or whatever it may be about the campaign ahead? Let us know. Let's start on Saturday. Ange Postecoglou clearly not too impressed with the outcome from that 6-2 defeat for Celtic against West Ham.
It was disappointing because, there was some bright things, some positive things, but there was bits of our game which, you know, were pretty poor tonight. And against a good quality opponent, you get punished.
Is the defensive side of things worrying you greatly at the moment?
Well, it wasn't great tonight. It was, you know, the other night was okay, but it wasn't great tonight. And, you know, it's an area we need to keep, you know, focusing on. I just didn't think we defended well as a unit today. We just, you know, again, maybe playing against a better quality opponent, we shied away from certain things that, you know, you can't afford to do.
Mark Wilson, a 6-2 defeat clearly on the scoreboard. That doesn't look great. And then we're going to get into it with the callers, but as an overview, is how much of a worry? Is it a worry? Is it not a worry? Because it's only pre-season, you tell me.
No, I think it is a worry. I think everybody would agree that it's a worry when you lose 6 goals at home the week before the league starts and a couple of days before a Champions League qualifier. Celtic's defensive frailties were exposed by top players. And now West Ham didn't have their full strength team out, but they still had quality players.
I suppose neither did Celtic.
Of course. But it looks like Celtic will go into this game on Wednesday with, you know, a centre half pairing of Welsh and Murray, which is not their fault. I think the two of them will grow in to be good players for Celtic, but probably unfortunate that you've got two young centre halves and a goalkeeper void of confidence at the minute when you're going into such an important game. You then start, you know, picking holes in the rest, you know, right back, as Celtic as strong as they could be? Well, I don't think so. Ralston's been already loaned out a few times. I think everybody understands he's probably not going to be the first choice right back. And other positions could possibly be stronger as well. The plus point is James Forrest played 25 minutes at the weekend. You would like to think it wouldn't take him too long to get up to speed because he was away with Scotland. I think he would come into the side, a certain starter. And then you've got the Edwards situation that is lurking around. A possible £20 million bid coming in from Brighton. I think Ange Postecoglou will be desperate to sort out that situation sooner rather than later.
And on the other side of that question, Andy, here's what Steven Gerrard had to say after Rangers beat Real Madrid at Ibrox.
It shows the quality and the strength and depth we've got around the dressing room. So I'm really happy and content. At the same time, it's important we stay calm. We've got two down days now just to recover and get ready. And then from Wednesday, it's important that everyone's focus is top and ready for Livingston.
Right then, how do you stay calm after beating Real Madrid?
Yeah, I mean, we're talking about potential confidence boosters in pre-season. I don't think you can get many better than that. And listen, we mentioned West Ham and Celtic not having their full strength squad. Real Madrid certainly didn't have their full strength 11, but their squad cost £200 million. So I think you can still, you know, put into detail how much quality they actually had within the squad that travelled to Ibrox. And Rangers, they didn't just win, they completely dominated. I think, you know, pre-season again, but you just seen the qualities of Ryan Kent. You know, he's playing against better opposition, and, you know, in a true Scottish term, taking the mickey, because he literally was. He was nothing short of outstanding. I think you look at,
what do you think the Spanish equivalent of that is? Someone will tweet us in. Don't try.
I was going to try, but I don't think it would have went well.
You're studying, aren't you? You're brushing up.
Well, remember I told you Morelos thought I spoke Spanish for 3 years because I could say "si." So, but for me, you look at Rangers' recruitment over the last sort of 6 to 8 weeks. You know, you're replacing Greg Stewart, a 32-year-old attacker who was certainly a good player within the squad, but you're replacing him with Fashion Sakala, who's scored 14 goals in the Pro League in Belgium. You're replacing Zungu, who, you know, didn't really impress, you've got to say, within the Rangers squad last year. We have a free transfer for the Premier League who played majority against for Sheffield, so it's certainly looking up.
Right, I think we've got John Paul. We have ironed out the technological difficulties and he should join us on the line at the moment. John Paul, can you hear us?
Yep, I can do.
Brilliant, I've never been so delighted to hear your voice. Take it away then, first caller through of the 2 hour shows back, looking ahead to the new season. What's on your mind?
Evening Gordon, evening Andy, evening Mark, it's good to be back. Hi, can you hear me?
Yep, we've got you loud and clear, on you go.
I just want to speak, obviously, on my team, which is Celtic. You know, I've watched pre-season and listened to the guys there, you know, and this is clearly not on the manager. You know, I have nothing against the manager. I think it was a move for Celtic that was a really this was in a gamble, obviously, after not getting Eddie Howe. You know, they're taking a massive risk. But what's annoying me is a couple of points, you know. We're 5 days away from starting the league, away to a very, very sticky venue, which has proven to be a sticky venue over the years and years of playing there, you know, away to Hearts. Obviously, Andy plays them and they've done their preparations, but Celtic preparations have been absolutely terrible, you know. And but the manager that now goes into this season still not knowing what his best goalkeeper is. You know, that was a massive problem for Celtic all last year. They didn't know what their best goalkeeper was. They chopped and changed. At one point, the three guys that are there now were number one at last season, you know. Barkas got a fresh start. The manager seemed to have backed him and he's let him down. Big moments, you know. Last week, pulled his hand out away for the free kick and cost us dearly, you know. We conceded 2 goals at home to Preston, 3 goals at home to Preston, you know. 6 goals at the weekend. We've got a guy, you know, this is no me. I'm not trying not to pick on Anthony Wilson, because I'm sure he trains well. I'm sure he's a hard young boy. But time and managers being at Celtic has proven that he's not good enough. Now, Brendan Rodgers came in over 3 years ago now, realised he wasn't really good enough, told him that, then tried to move him on. He's been out on loan twice and he's not really excelled in loan. Now Celtic are five days away, as I say, from starting the league campaign with a right back who who is the only right back at the club. He's a first choice right back now, but he wasn't good enough to make it on loan. You know, and that's nothing against him. I'm sure they tried, as I said. I'm not trying to pick on him, but that's just the fact of the matter. He's very, very young. We've got a guy next to him, Welsh, who's done reasonably okay, but again, very, very young and inexperienced. You know, they still didn't know who their best goalkeeper is behind them. There's a lot of things for Celtic now. You know, Edward and Christie came out and said they want to leave. You know, and Cham's there. Does he really want to be there? Albeit he's not played. I just think the preparations for Ange, you know, to go into this season, the way he's going into it, is not off to a good start. You know, and I fear for him because I don't think he'll get a lot of time. You know, what happens if he goes in? He doesn't get a result against Hearts, and then we're away to Rangers, the fourth game of the season, and we're potentially sitting third, fourth in the league, and there's only four games in it. I think the fans who paid the money, they'll be on his back. They'll say he's not good enough. You know, I think it's the preparation and the board, the way they went about their business this summer, is the worst, I would say. And, you know, it's known that Celtic have not had the greatest of windows, even though they've tried to sign players, but the preparation this year has been shocking. I just want to know what the panel think of that.
Yeah, listen, it's hard to disagree with any of your points, and I already highlighted the back four, and I think I agree with you by saying it's very harsh if you put this at Ange Postecoglou's door right away. Frankly, I'm amazed that Celtic haven't moved on from where they were at the end of March in terms of personnel at the club. If anything, they're probably in a worse position because Ayers went out the door, albeit they've got money for him, but they've lost an experience centre half. Okay, they've replaced him with Starfelt. We'll see what he's like when he comes out of isolation and he can't actually play. But there's so many holes in that side, and I'm amazed that the goalkeeping position hasn't been sorted out. People say, you know, Barkas, give him a chance, give him another chance. There's got to come a moment where you draw a line and say, this just isn't working out for this player at this club. And then you have to be proactive. Well, Celtic should have been proactive in recruiting someone else, even if it was to challenge Barkas, because Bain has been, for me, I think, better than Barkas, but he's still unfancied by Neil Lennon, by John Kennedy, and it looks like Ange Postecoglou now. That tells you need someone else in.
Okay, Mark Wilson there. Andy Halliday is alongside him. Thank you to John Paul at 01419511025. Tell us how you're feeling ahead of the new season. We're going to speak to Connor, who's a Rangers fan from Haddington. We'll speak to him next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Mark Wilson are here. It's 01419511025 to get in touch on the phones, or you can tweet us at Clyde SSB. Twitter never fails to amaze me, right? I'd forgotten about just how incredible the response is on certain issues. Big, cutting edge, hotly debated topics. Everyone's just tweeting in to tell me how to say taking the mickey in Spanish, as was requested earlier.
That was sensational.
There are a few different versions, to be fair, but thank you to Mark and Milo and Debo, all guys who've given me different ones.
Is that not just Ole? Can I not shout that?
That sounds fine. I'll steer clear of them. And Kyle Cunningham's even, he said, you know, thank goodness Super Scoreboard's back to normal. My evenings have been cut short by an hour for weeks. I've even missed Shug, and he sent me a selfie of him and Hugh Keevans, who, of course, is usually here on a Monday night.
Mm-hmm.
He's usually here on a Monday. He is a permanent fixture. And if you're wondering where he is, I've actually got big news. He's got an exclusive. We've not sacked him or anything like that. Far from it. Have you heard this, no? Have you heard the real reason he's off tonight?
No.
Have you?
No.
He's going into Love Island.
Oh, you're joking.
Seriously. Casa Amor. 9 o'clock.
Oh.
Said he's going to undo his top two buttons just so that he looks extra casual.
Still wear the cardigan.
Well, it depends on the heat.
Wear one without sleeves.
He texted me earlier to say that he's not afraid to step on people's toes. He's going to get in and cause some drama.
That so certainly would make me watch it.
I'm all in. I'm watching it this year.
I knew you would be in that. That's why I said
nonsense.
I'm heavily invested in it, Andy.
Can you imagine him though?
Right, anyway. I got a text
on the Nokia. Right, 01419511025. Enough of that. Imagine the sight of him and his speedos at the side of the pool. I'm putting people off their dinner. Right, Connor is in Haddington. Connor, talk to us. How are you?
Good evening, panel. I hope you're all keeping well.
Thank you. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. All good. I think after yesterday's performance against Real Madrid, I'm certainly feeling a lot more confident about this season.
Right, talk to us about that relationship that fans have with pre-season then, because a couple of weeks ago, Rangers lost to Tranmere, now they beat Real Madrid, and it's hard to know how excited you're allowed to get. How excited are you getting?
Yeah, to be honest, I'm over the moon at the moment. I think the game against Tranmere, you know, it's more about just minutes in the legs of pre-season. But I think yesterday, seeing almost a full-strength sort of starting 11, you know, the way they were playing, the pressing, you know, Real Madrid really did struggle. I know it wasn't their full-strength team, but they still had a lot of talent out there. You know, you look at the likes of Ryan Kent yesterday, just absolutely phenomenal. And then, you know, you had Scott Wright on the other side, who was arguably, again, just as good as Ryan Kent, in my opinion. I think from him going from Aberdeen and going to Rangers within January to now, is it's a completely different player, and he looks to be a really good thing for us.
Yeah, Joe, I like that. I like you've picked those two, because I feel like they're going to be interesting examples. If we're talking about kind of main men, people you would hinge your season on, people maybe you can't afford to lose, Andy, before the transfer window closes, would Ryan Kent fit that for you?
Yeah, I mean, I just mentioned it. I think Rangers' business so far seems as if it's went really well. No, they've not spent any fee in any player, but I think their biggest transfer business will be in the next month. And for me, the one player they can't lose is Ryan Kent. You know, we spoke last year, is there going to be interest in the likes of Glenn Kamara, Alfredo Morelos, which seems to be there's a bit of interest every year. James Tavernier, could he potentially leave? But Ryan Kent's the one for me. I just don't think you can replace him. So
genuinely, that's not a figure of speech. You mean that above the rest of them, he is the,
for me, yeah,
the most important,
yeah,
player Rangers keep. Yeah,
yeah, for me, I don't think, and someone might be able to phone in and prove me wrong, I don't think Rangers have had a player like him for almost two decades. That's that technical on the ball, that can make things happen out of nothing. It's that sharp. He's just a class above. And listen, we can't get too carried away for the likes of a pre-season friendly against Real Madrid, but it was performances last year as well in Europe and Celtic, in the games against Celtic, big games, making stuff happen. And I think he's improving every year. That's another thing we spoke about, his numbers potentially getting better. I think his numbers were a lot better this year. Again, knowing how good he is, still probably want even more in terms of numbers, but I mean, he's just a special, special talent.
And I suppose, Connor, when you mentioned Scott Wright there, is that testament to the idea of getting him in early, giving him the end of last season where, I'm not saying the pressure's off, the pressure's never off, but he comes into an already successful team and he can just feel his way in, and potentially you get the benefits of that, you see the best of him now. Is that what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, no, I definitely think so. I know that me and my dad, before he did sign, we were sort of on the fence, you know, thinking, oh, he's coming from Aberdeen, he's not played that many first team games, in the sense, you know, that the sort of the players that we've had maybe looked at in the past. But I think, you know, you've seen the Gerrard way, you know, bringing in young talent, sort of progressing them on. And yeah, I think he could be a real big player for us this season. I'd also like to mention, you know, Fashion Sakala. I think yesterday, considering that was his sort of first start, you know, I thought he played really, really well. Obviously, getting his goal, you know, he looks like a really promising player. And then again, you know, you're throwing Cedric Hitton into the mix as well. You know, he's scored 3 goals in pre-season. You know, he's looking good. So again, it's just competition for places, and it's, you know, as far as any Rangers fans concerned, I think, you know, we're really confident about this season.
Yeah, I mean, Connor's right. When you look at the options Rangers have got at the top end of the pitch, you know, all playing well, scoring goals. Daz always says, if you're a striker and you go to a club, you want to get off the mark as quick as possible. So for Sakala to score right away, you know, ticks that box. E10, I thought E10 last year was sort of like a project player that was always prepped for him this year, and how many minutes he could get was always going to be a bonus, and how many goals he could get was always building to this year. Certainly looks like that in pre-season. And Andy's point on Kent as well, I have to agree with him. It's quite funny though. I mean, last season was a period right in the middle of the season. He was getting criticised in some quarters, but I think it was because he set his standards that high that people expect all the time. But I've got a funny feeling Rangers' resolve will be tested before the transfer window's out with guys like Kent and Kamara. I think they will receive some offers for them, and it's how much do they value them, how much do they need to sell them, or how much they can afford to keep them. It'll be interesting.
We're about to bring in Andy, who's a Celtic fan, in the not too distant future, but just another name that Connor mentioned, Andy Halliday, keen to get your thoughts. You know, we can talk about how important pre-season is or isn't, but I'm sure it felt important to Fashion Sakala last night when he gets to play at Ibrox, and he scores, and there's a decent number of fans in as well.
Yeah, I think he looks like an exciting player. He looks extremely athletic, very, very quick. I thought he was very direct yesterday, not even, you know, scenarios where he was busting by players, but winning a lot of fouls around the area and potential for dangerous free kicks for Rangers. I thought there was certain touches within the game. He looked a little bit raw, but I think you can put that down to his first game. He was obviously isolating for 10 days. I think he's only been training with the squad for about a week or so, but certainly looked very, very dangerous, and looks as if he's going to be a good find for Rangers for a free transfer.
Okay, Connor in Haddington, that was a pleasure. Make sure you give us a call back soon. 01419511025. Straight on to Andy in Stirling. As a Celtic fan, Andy, what's on your mind after pre-season?
Hi, I'm just looking at the pre-season friendlies. I remember going to a Parkhead in season 87-88, and Celtic got rattled 5-0 against Arsenal in the pre-season, and we thought, oh, here we go, and we turned in and we done Graham Sunesi's Rangers team.
Yeah, so the lesson is there, don't read into it too much. Is that what you're getting at?
It's a friendly. Yeah. You know, you wouldn't judge a cake halfway through, would you? Before it's
come
out of the oven, would you?
No, I wouldn't go before it's come out of the oven, I must admit. Is that your hope then, that this Ange Postecoglou cake is going to be cooked, it's going to be fine by next week, by the time the season starts, by midweek, I guess, in the European qualifiers?
Listen, football teams always evolve, and they're always evolving, so there's no timeline for him to have this fixed for next week. It would be great, but you know, Brendan Rodgers was the exception to the rule. When he came in, things just seemed to click. You know, we need to give this guy time and see what he's got. You know, one thing you have to say about him is he's proven he's not a dummy, because he's telling you what's wrong. He's no guessing. It would be worse if he was telling me everything was okay, and we know it's no okay. But he's no. He's telling you where the problems are. You've got two young kids at centre-half. If you analyse the West Ham game, you know, there were two or three real blatant mistakes there. You know, we need to also teach Vasilis Barkas to dive in front of the ball instead of pulling his hands away and diving away from it. That would maybe be a good start. Even if it hurt him, it wouldn't matter. But, you know, he has to address that. But everybody's... Well, we're no daft. We see what's in front of us.
Yeah, I think that's perhaps a fair point, Mark, because no one likes to see their team lose. No one likes to see their team lose heavily. But if you go back to May, you know, April, May, when we were on this show, the list was there. Celtic were getting a new manager, the captain was leaving, there was a question mark over a whole host of their main players. Even above and beyond that, it's a new CEO and the recruitment department and all the rest of it. Were we ever on anybody's planet going to be in a situation on the 26th of July where people were phoning this and going, yep, we look perfect, great, we're in tip-top shape and everything's in place ahead of the new season? That was never really possible, was it?
I don't believe that that was possible, that Celtic were ever going to be in perfect shape. I do believe that they should be in much better shape than they are just now. And I don't just mean from the playing side, I mean the full structure at the club. Ange Postecoglou's came in. I think everybody expected a director of football or head of recruitment to quickly fall. I think everybody expected a number two or a known coach of Ange Postecoglou's to come in with fresh ideas to help him out. And that doesn't mean shifting John Kennedy or Gavin Strachan out, just something different. None of that's happened yet. Then you look at the playing situation, you've just said there, way back in April, everybody knew Scott Brown was leaving, the goalkeeper wasn't good enough, right backs were going back alone, left back was going back alone, there was question marks around Christie and Edward, and none of these situations have been addressed. And I don't lay the blame at Ange Postecoglou, because it must be incredibly difficult coming in, trying to put your ideas into a team, trying to get to know everybody, try to sign players. It must be incredibly difficult. But for Celtic to let that go on so long and eat into the summer, knowing that these Champions League qualifiers are coming round, I just think it was absolutely crazy that they let it go that long. And Don McKay was in, remember, shadowing Peter Lowell. I think action should have been taken quicker and things should have been in place much quicker than they have been.
I mean, I guess the manager has said as much, Andy Halliday. I'm going to have to start using full names here because we've got Andy and Stirling on the phone. The manager said, you know, we took too long with certain things. But actually, from a fan's perspective, Andy and Stirling, that's what he likes. You know, he feels the manager's not pulling the wool over the eyes. He's at least explaining you know, where things need to improve.
Yeah, he has explained where things need to improve, but Celtic have a win or go home tie on Wednesday to find out if they stay in the Champions League or not. And I think if they go out on Wednesday, I think that'll affect what will happen in the remaining transfer window for Celtic, because albeit they just raked in 13 million for Ayer, they might rake in 20 plus for Edouard. They're going to lose a lot of money if they go out the Champions League. And I think for this, if you asked me 2-3 months ago on this day how many Celtic signings would have been made, I thought it would be more than 5. And not even just that, the two big ones aren't even in the door yet. So they've got a massive game on Wednesday with Furuhashi and Carl Starfelt not even in the building to see if they go through in the Champions League.
I mean, I guess some of that though is the way of the world at the moment, is it not? I mean, unavoidable quarantine and all the rest of it.
Yeah, but look, Celtic have been guilty for years of this, dragging their heels from transfer windows.
Is there any room for this to be analysed a little bit differently just because we are in different times?
Well, perhaps because of the quarantine thing. Okay, a wee bit of slack over that. But it's just even the Starfelt thing took a while to get over the line. So he's now isolating at a crucial part of the season. Where he's playing catch up, surely that could have been done sooner. The goalkeeping position is a big one for me. That could have been sorted, I think, long ago. You knew what you had.
Yeah, but is there an appetite to sort it, or does Ange Postecoglou want and like and rate Barkas as his number one? Because if he does, then it's not about time.
That's, I think, the concern. Because if Ange Postecoglou came in, and you know, I've heard he does his homework, he knows things inside out, he would have looked at Barkas. He would have looked at the performances of the three goalkeepers last year. And I'm sure he could have taken some positives from some games, but there was an awful lot of negatives in there. Now he's given him the chance, the number one back. He's made critical errors at big moments going into this season. Surely that doesn't fill him with any sort of confidence.
Andy and Stirling, nice to speak to you. 0141 951 1025. More of your calls next.
0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Let's bring in Kenny, who's a Rangers fan from Gourock. Hi Kenny.
Hello lads, how are you?
Not bad at all, how are you?
Oh brilliant, nice to hear you back again.
Absolutely, glad to be back. Kenny, how are you feeling then this pre-season?
Very mixed. I was listening to your show at the beginning, and I don't. Before we go any further, I don't know, because I was on hold. I know you're having problems. I was on hold for about 15 minutes, and it was silent hold, so I didn't hear much of the show. If nobody's mentioned it, I'd like to mention Ali Dawson passing away today,
and
so sad to hear that.
Yeah, no, it is indeed. Yeah, absolutely sad news just this afternoon, in case anyone was unaware. But yeah, Kenny, you're right. And it goes without saying, from us, thoughts with all the family.
Playing for Rangers, and he was a great player. Anyway, very much up and down pre-season, I think, for Rangers. As much as you can, and I understand where people are coming from, because Mark was talking about different games, and I remember that at a U2 concert, I think it was 86 or 87 at Edinburgh.
A what concert? Sorry, I missed that. A what concert?
A U2 concert, right?
Sorry.
And I was coming out, we were going to the concert, and we see these Celtic supporters who were coming back from a game against Arsenal, and they had get beat 5-0, right? And I think Celtic went on to win the league that year, so I wouldn't read too much into pre-season. What I've been impressed with this pre-season more than anything else is the boy Kelly that's playing for Rangers.
Andy Halliday's nodding away. Stephen Kelly, he is a product of the Rangers Academy. He was on loan at Ross County last season, so you know, saw a bit of him. Andy, has he caught the eye?
Looked really, really good. Yeah, and I know he's someone that Michael Beale really fancies over the last couple of years since he's came in the door. Rangers were really keen for him to go out on loan over the last couple of seasons, and progressive development there. He went on loan to Ayr United, done really well last year at Ross County, and done really well as well. So he's came back and looked really, really good in the midfield.
Good enough, Kenny, that you think we could see more of him in the Rangers midfield this season?
I've watched the boy. I mean, I'm in Gourock now, but I come from Port Glasgow, and that's where the boy comes from, right? And he's the best prospect, I think, since Neil McCann to come out of Port Glasgow. And I mean, Neil McCann is a great player. And so because he's a local boy, I keep my eye on him, as I have done the other players from this area over the years. And I've seen him at Ayr United, and then last year with Ross County, some great, I think he's 29 games, and they had some great performances. But I seen him in the flesh at Rangers the first time. Well, I say in the flesh on TV, against Partick Thistle, and I was impressed with the way he came on. And he just looks like a mini Stephen Davis to me. He was detecting play, wanting the ball, he was telling the older players where to go. That really impressed me. Then I've seen him a couple of times since then. And then Saturday against Brighton, I think he could be the big breakthrough this year.
That's an interesting one, right? Because we've been talking about pre-season in the kind of big picture about the team. You know, how much can you read into the results? For individual players, it's always quite fascinating, because how many times have you been there where someone does feature in pre-season and does particularly well, but then when the big games come around and everyone's available, you never really see them again. Is Stephen Kelly genuinely, is he at that level, Andy, where it'll be, you know, he can get serious involvement?
I think he's done everything that Rangers have wanted him to do over the last couple of years in terms of his development. That's 2 years now, going out and playing men's football, which I always think is important for young players, especially at the Old Firm, who'll probably not get a lot of first team football at a young age. So I fully expect him to be a part of the squad. Now the issue is, he's competing for a very, very strong area of the park for Rangers. So I don't think Rangers, or certainly myself, are going to put too much pressure on him to go in this season and set the world alight. But I most definitely see him being a part of the squad and playing games. I think it's no secret that myself and quite a few others have been a bit critical of Rangers youth over the last few years. With such a lot of emerging talent, it seems like over the last 5-10 years there's never really been enough coming through the door and seen them really make an impact in the squad. But I think since Steven Gerrard came in, he's put a lot of faith in quite a lot of young players. You know, Nathan Patterson obviously had a breakthrough year last year, Kai Kennedy's played games, Glenn Middleton, albeit they signed from Norwich, I think 17-18 year old, has made an impact. So I think this could be Stephen Kelly's year. And another couple of, you know, I've said that a couple of times on the show, Leon King for me from when I left was one that really, really impressed me. So I think it's exciting times, and Stephen Kelly is one for me I'd like to see be a part of the squad this year.
Now, I did notice Nathan Patterson and James Tavernier had played a few games together, or minutes of games together. I'll maybe get your thoughts on that a bit later on. Thank you to Kenny. I do want to squeeze one more in before we play Beat the Pundit for the first time this season. Ian is just along the road from Kenny. He's in Greenock. Take it away, Ian.
How you doing, Gordon? Welcome back. Welcome back, Mark. And welcome back, Andy.
Cheers, Ian. Thank you.
Just a quick one. It's not going to keep these, but we're going through a massive transition at Parkhead at the moment. But we're talking about players. Ralston, right back. Not good enough, Mark. You're hitting you on the head. You can still play the game.
Oh, steady,
as well.
Steady.
So can I. I'm 54 and I can play right back. Know what I mean? So, but anyway.
You've just belittled my full career there at right back.
No, listen, Mark, you're still a good player. Don't kid yourself. Anyway, let me talk about the back four. Well, obviously, it's a young back four. Now, we brought in a young boy last year, and maybe 18 months ago, we brought three or four in at the same time, and they were working progresses. The boy, Lee O'Connor, from Manchester United. The Man United supporters were going off their head when he came to Parkhead. Now, the boy's a centre-back, and he could play right-back as well, so he can. Now, I would have had no hassle in putting that boy in. Now, I think he went out in loan, Mark, to Partick Thistle. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So, we're going into this game on Wednesday night with a 17-year-old and an 18-year-old, or an 18-year-old and a 19-year-old, young Murray and young Welsh. I thought Welsh had a great game last week. Beaton's not a centre back. Shepidity got him sent off. Anthony Ralston didn't think he had a good game. And Greg Taylor, the jury's still out on him. But we've not got a left back or a right back, bar Greg Taylor and Anthony Ralston. But we let players go.
Who like?
Lustig, Simunovic, Scott Sinclair, things like that. I mean, we could have retained them for an extra 6 months. We're only might give them a year's contract because it gave them 18 months.
It's a strange one, Mark. If you're talking specifically at the back, we don't have time to run through everyone. I think most Celtic fans probably loved what Mikael Lustig did, but probably felt the time was right when you looked at his age and some of the latter performances. However, the next challenge is you need to replace him. That's clearly where Ian's coming from.
Yeah, Lustig had a great career, wonderful career at Celtic, great servant. But I think, most would say that his time was up. I think it was exposed against Rangers a few times where Kent gave him a really hard time. And I know he played in the Euros, but he's now retired, and I think you could see where it was going. That problem is, you're right, Gordon, Celtic had no ready-made replacement in mind or coming through. Leo Connor, I mean, yeah, he's at Thistle, Tranmere, Republic of Ireland, you know, caps under his belt at youth level, but he must be, Ange Postecoglou must have seen him and he fancies Ralston ahead of him. But none of the two of them are going to be first choice right back if that's the position we're concentrating on. And that's been the problem all too often for Celtic in the summer.
Thank you, Ian. I've been looking forward to this every night at 5 to 7. I try and play it over the dinner table and it never quite takes off. Let's see what we can do.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun. For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
It's back. Beat the Pundit is back. I think it was Andy Halliday. Was he the undisputed Beat the Pundit champion?
I don't think we can argue
season
with that. Yeah, yeah. I think I was second, close second though.
No, I don't think so. I'll certainly argue with that. No. But anyway, it's back for a new season. You could be the first contestant on Beat the Pundit for the new season. Lay down a marker. That's what they always say. 0141 951 1025. If you've never heard it before, it's very simple. You come on here, you answer as many football related questions right as you can in 30 seconds, and if you get more than the pundit, you beat the pundit. It's that simple. 0141 951 1025. The lines close at 7, so be quick.
0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde 1 Super Scoreboard.
Andy Halliday and Mark Wilson are here. If you're wondering about the usual Monday night sound in the absence of Hugh Keevans, I just want to clear up, he's not actually going into the Love Island villa, just in case anyone's
he's I believe that as well.
I believe it's a special anniversary. And he's doing the right thing. I'm surprised he didn't
romantic,
bring
yeah.
Mrs. Keevans in here.
Yeah.
That's usually how seriously he takes the show. But anyway, Andy Halliday, Mark Wilson, delighted to have them. And I must say, delighted to do this, because it's been great that the show's been able to continue after the Euros and give everyone a chance to have their say in all the big talking points throughout the day. But we used to finish at 7, we're back till 8, and that means the return of this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
The whole show has been about pre-season being over. Well, pre-season and Beat the Pundit's over, and limit. These two are quite nervous. Mark Wilson, he's given it, he's trying to pretend to Andy Halliday that he had a decent season on Beat the Pundit last season, which he didn't. Andy Halliday is the champion, but he's a bit worried. He's telling us that he's undercooked. He's been busy during pre-season and he doesn't feel he's quite up to speed.
Nah, I've not been. Usually I'm a bit of a connoisseur when it comes to football, but I've shut off since the Euros. It's not the trophy that I dreamed about winning growing up. I'll take it.
Mark Wilson does though. He takes it quite seriously. Let's meet tonight's contestant. The first contestant of the new season is Thomas in Airdrie. How's it going, Thomas?
Hi Gordon, fine thanks.
Are you confident? Have you been brushing up, studying hard over the summer?
Aye, well, fingers crossed, aye.
Right, good. Good, let's see how it goes. Right, I'm going to toss the coin. As always, heads it will be Andy Halliday, tails it is Mark Wilson. And it is indeed tails. So it's going to be Mark Wilson up against Thomas in Airdrie. So
magic.
He's buzzing, I love
you've that. You've seen magic Thomas. Going to give Mark Wilson something else to listen to. Can you still hear us, Mark Wilson? No, he's gone, that's fine. He's disappeared, that's fine. You take your headphones off. He's gone out the room. He's taking no chances. Right, Thomas, 30 seconds. You're going up against Mark and you can pass. That is all you need to know. You ready?
Right, let's do that.
Right, good man. 30 seconds on the clock. If I can find the clock, still in the same place. Your time starts now. Name the only manager in Scotland's top flight who's from outside the UK and Ireland.
Ange Postecoglou.
Which Scottish team does Curtis Main currently play for?
Motherwell.
Who is Rangers' oldest outfield player at the moment?
Stephen Davis.
Name the Hearts manager.
Oh, pass.
Who scored for Celtic in the 1-1 draw against Midtjylland?
Oh, Abala.
In which decade was the last Ayrshire Derby league fixture?
90s.
John Lundstrom joined Rangers on a free from which English team?
Sheffield United.
Okay, let's bring Mark Wilson back and see what he can do. Here he comes, Mark Wilson. Are you ready?
Yes.
Good standard, by the way. Thomas is brilliant. You're going to need a 9 to beat him. You ready?
Yeah.
Same set of questions, 30 seconds on the clock. And your time starts now. You're the only manager in the Scottish top flight who's from outside the UK and Ireland.
Ange Postecoglou.
Which Scottish team does Curtis Main play for?
Motherwell.
Who is currently Rangers' oldest outfield player?
Oh, Steve Davis.
Name the Hearts manager.
Robbie Nielsen.
Who scored for Celtic in the 1-1 draw against Midtjylland last week?
Oh no, pass.
In which decade was the last Ayrshire Derby league fixture?
Oh, 90s.
John Lundstrom joined Rangers on a free
Sheffield
from which
United.
English team? Thomas, how do you think that went?
Tie, I think.
Do you think so?
No,
Liz?
maybe it went with Robbie Nielsen.
Right, okay, let's find out.
I get confused with the Dundee United manager and Hearts manager for some reason.
It's an easy mistake to make. Name the only manager in the Scottish...
Not really.
No, but try to be kind. This is my first night back, right? Name the only manager in the Scottish top flight from outside the UK and Ireland. Ange Postecoglou. You both got it. A couple of you have been stuck in a time machine because Curtis Main hasn't played for Motherwell for a few years.
St Mirren.
He's at St Mirren.
Oh,
he did used to play for Motherwell.
Got the next one wrong as well.
Rangers' oldest outfield player is Jermaine Defoe.
Yeah.
What, went into the old coaching?
Well, he did, but he's a player coach. So it's 1-1. Great start to the new season, guys. Brilliant. Great standard.
Like your work, Thomas.
The Hearts manager is Robbie Nielsen, Thomas, but you knew that, didn't you? You've just you got a bit mixed
up. A bit confused, aye.
Mark Wilson didn't get confused. You can't be seriously about to rub it in how bad you've performed so far. You are in front, though, by 2-1. Who scored for Celtic in the 1-1 draw against Midtjylland last week? Now, a steward's inquiry, I think.
I've got his name wrong, haven't I?
Thomas said Abala. I don't think
he
can.
No, he said Abada, didn't he? Is that Abada?
Abala, no,
Abada
no.
is the correct answer.
Abada, yeah,
it was Abada,
I mean.
No? Has no. he got an L in it?
Oh, freaking, no.
Hey,
what's going on here?
I'm getting Thomas it. Abada, so it was, yeah.
In what decade was the last Ayrshire Derby league fixture? The 90s, you both got it. And John Lundstrom joined Rangers on a free from Sheffield United. Is that a Mark Wilson victory? Do we have to be thrown to?
What do you mean, if?
Well, I think it was a Bala. He said,
That's unfortunate for Thomas.
Thomas, it breaks my heart.
I think we can give him a tiebreaker.
It breaks my heart, Thomas, I must admit. What do you think, producer?
Off and running, Andy.
We'll just do the tiebreaker anyway.
Why? Definitely not. Why?
You know, first show back.
I think it's a tiebreaker, Mark.
No. This is a disaster. Right, go for it. Give us it. Then. I'll beat Thomas at the tiebreaker as well.
Let's do it. Thomas, he's still there.
Right, let's go for that.
You've not hung up. Right, the question is this. Now I'm going to read the question. Mark, I'll get you to write your answer down, and I'll get Thomas to give me his attempt thereafter. So, how many of the 42 SPFL teams feature an animal or an or an insect on their club crest?
What's that question?
How many of the 42 SPFL teams feature an animal or an insect on their club crest? Mark Wilson, write it down. Show me your answer. Okay, Thomas, what are you going for?
Nine.
You've got to win that.
Thomas has gone 9. Mark has gone 15. The answer is 17.
Yes.
Thomas. It breaks my heart. Although to be fair, we possibly shouldn't have gone to the tiebreaker anyway. So I don't feel quite
justice,
as bad.
Justice.
Mark Wilson won.
Yeah,
there
Thomas.
We go. First victory.
Yep.
Is that what they say?
Oh yeah, yeah.
3
off
points
and
on the board.
Yep.
Lay down a marker. Give you something to build on. All
exactly,
the usual
all
cliches.
That, yeah.
Good.
Yep.
Right.
Thomas, relegation zone, mate.
Thomas, hard lines. We'll hopefully speak to you soon. Take care.
Right. Brilliant. Thank you.
Brilliant, that was Thomas.
Thomas wasn't brilliant. Beat twice.
Neither were you, to be fair. Well, that was rusty. What have you been up to?
It's getting over the line, Gordon. Getting 3 points on the board.
What have you been up to, by the way? I'm curious to know.
Because I've been up to?
I'm looking forward. You usually like to climb a lot of hills, that sort of thing. Has DL been on to? Do you two talk to each other during the summer?
I was speaking to him last week. He was asking me. I went to London and he was asking me how the airports were. He phoned me to ask how the airports were.
He's interested. He's a man of the world.
How long was the security queue? Things like that. Another interesting thing about Hillwell. Remember he said last year
he was going to
get into Hillwell because he got a new hip. Well, I've never had the phone call asking me.
You've never seen him on the hills.
No, I don't think anytime soon. So, bits and bobs.
Listen,
Gordon,
to these guys, Andy. Listen, see if he didn't have chocolate knees and he'd still be playing. He'd been through the pre-season rigors like yourself, and instead he's worrying about what hills he's climbing.
Dazza loves his golf as well, doesn't he?
To be fair, he's never been off the golf course, I think. But we'll find out on Thursday, I think.
Yeah, can't wait.
We'll get him back. Right, 01419511025 on the phones at Clyde SSB and Twitter. Don't forget, the draw for the next round of the League Cup was made after the group stage concluded over the weekend. Some interesting ties to look forward to, I must admit. Andy Halliday, one that jumps out because you're playing them on the opener of the league campaign. But this one at Celtic Park, Celtic against Hearts out the hat.
Yeah, I know. Feel a wee bit hard done by, I got to be honest with you, with the with the seeded debacle for the cup. But
so let's get, so just in case anyone's not aware, so you won 1-0 yesterday.
Yep.
If you had won 2-0, you would have been seeded, right? Yeah. Did you know that before the game?
We knew we had to match St Mirren's result, and right, obviously when we went out, St Mirren were winning 1-0, so we thought that's how it.
But
they scored in the 95th minute. Yeah.
Also, this year teams have been awarded 3-0 victories.
St Mirren being one, yeah,
for COVID. So, yeah.
Well, I mean, technically it's the rules, but it does feel a little bit harsh. I mean, we've won 4 games, 4 clean sheets. We've done what we're supposed to do, but. Yeah, St Mirren obviously to no fault of their own couldn't. I think it was fourth, am I right? Couldn't fulfil a fixture and they got awarded a 3-0 victory. So on goals scored, St Mirren got the seeded. Mm. But listen, you know, I think everyone will agree, if you want to win a cup, you need to beat the best. You need to beat everyone. So tough fixture away to Celtic at Parkhead. But no, we'll be looking forward to it when it comes.
Yeah, Rangers at home to Dunfermline, Arbroath St Johnstone, Hibs Kilmarnock, Ayr United, Dundee United, Raith Aberdeen, Dundee Motherwell, and Livy St Mirren complete that draw. How do you feel about this way of starting a season, Andy? Because would this be the first time for you? Because
No. This has been going on for a few years now.
Yeah, but when you were at Rangers, you would have come into at the latter stages, would you not?
No, because the first
season.
Yeah,
I forget
first year.
The first
we played Motherwell
season.
In the first
right.
game.
Yeah, I've tried to forget about that one.
I personally don't like it. I know a lot of people that do, though, because it's competitive fixtures early. I preferred it the way it was. It's like I said, if I'm, you know, obviously I'm doing my coaching badges now, so I'm looking at a coach's perspective as well. If I'm a coach, I would want to sort of test my players in different ways and fixtures that I could pick myself leading into a season. Like I said, with all due respect to, you know, Stirling Albion, Cove, Peterhead, it's a big jump to go to that for Celtic. So ideally, you would get the preparation where you can pick fixtures to sort of match that. But
can you not supplement that though? I mean, you guys played Sunderland as well, did you not?
Yeah, Sunderland. I mean, that's the only pre-season friendly we could actually manage, because we had, you know, 4 cup games with the season starting quite early for us. But listen, yeah, there's no excuses. We knew that's what we were going into throughout the season, and I suppose you can look at it the other way, that we've had 4 competitive fixtures under our belt going into the weekend. So what I will say is we've had certainly a lot of preparation. Like I said, that's been, I think, 6 weeks we've been back now. A lot of time on the training field to work on how we're going to play this year. So yeah, just looking forward to the season. It's starting out at the weekend.
Okay, 0141 951 1025. Remember, we're asking you about pre-season and how you're now feeling. Does it impact your mood at all going into the new campaign? Or are you one of those fans that says, who cares, it's only pre-season, it will not reflect at all on the season coming up? Whatever your thoughts are ahead of the new campaign, fans of all teams, please, let's hear it. William is calling in tonight as a Rangers fan. William, what's on your mind?
Yeah, hello, Gordon, Andrew and Mark. Happy new season.
Same to you.
Yeah, it's about Alfredo Morelos, right? He's been on this South America thing for about, going on about 6 weeks now. He's played 9 minutes of football. He's no back. Where is he? You know what I mean? It's just, if you've seen Steven Gerrard's interview and he was asked, what about Alfredo Morelos? He goes, I don't know what's happened about him. I don't know when he's coming back. He was biting his lip. You know what I mean? His steam was coming out his ears. But where is he? If he's going to have his wee petted lip and he's turned about Porto, right? I tell you what, he's going to be sitting on that bench a lot more. For that boy, Sakala's performance yesterday, I can see Alfredo be sitting on that bench a lot more this season. Well, where is he? It's 9 minutes of football. He should be back. Everybody else is back. Where is he?
Come on then, Andy. You just told us earlier on that you're brushing up your Spanish. He's your pal. Where is he? You spoke to him.
Should I message him just now?
Yeah, see what he's saying.
Right, well, I'll get back to you next
where
break.
Where are you, Alfredo?
It feels as if it's a topic that we've spoken about every pre-season for the last sort of 2 or 3 years. What's going to happen? What's the future of Alfredo Morelos?
This is very specific. This
is
where
very specific.
Is he?
And to me, it screams out that something's happening behind the scenes, because, I mean, Borna Barisic went to the latter stages of the Euros. I think he actually finished after Alfredo Morelos. Philip Hollander, I think, might have been the same, or roughly the same time. They're back. They've been back for quite a few days. Alfredo Morelos is obviously still in Colombia. When he does return to Rangers, he'll need to isolate for 10 days, like we spoke about Celtic's new signings. I don't understand why he's not back. There must be something that's going on behind the scenes. Like William said, is it something to do with the portal speculation? I'm not too sure, but it seems as if it's the same topic of discussion that we've had for the last 2 or 3 seasons.
Yeah, I mean, William's right to reference Steven Gerrard's interview about it, Mark, and he clearly wasn't happy. on one hand, he's not happy at having to answer it, the question again, but you're obviously going to be asked. That's just the way it goes. There has been constant speculation around him. He said something along the lines of, "There's a lot being written. I know where that's coming from." Is that about an agent? Is that you putting two and two together there? So it's an interesting one.
Yeah, what will disappoint Steven Gerrard about the full situation is having to address the question being asked. He's put Steven Gerrard in a position that he doesn't need to be in. Steven Gerrard's an awful lot in his mind in preparing his team for the season upcoming without having to answer questions about Alfredo Morelos again. And it's not the first time he's done it, you know, reported late back when he should have been back, and Gerrard addressed that situation. And it looked like Morelos had turned a bit of a corner, got his act together, and he was going to be the star man again for Rangers. But I just think the speculation around him this summer, I think this could be the window that he does go. I think Rangers are in a good place with what they've got in the forward areas, that if a bid does eventually come in, a concrete bid, and it's decent money, then they will take it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Andy, you're right to say that we have this conversation every summer and every January, which we do. But would this be the most comfortable that Rangers as a club and as a fan base would be if it was to be the end of the road for Alfredo Morelos?
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I think that last year, I thought he'd be away last year in the transfer window. I thought that, you know, it was similar. I think it was at Lille last year, and it seemed for a period of time he might have been leaving. But at that point, Rangers had just brought in Kamar Roof. They'd just brought in Cedric Itton, you know, two good signings on paper, but you never know how they're going to perform. So I think it was important that they kept him for another year, obviously, to stop 10 in a row. But this year, I think having done that and Fashion Sakala coming in, I think he's someone that's exciting a lot of people within the club. He's exciting the fans. Still got Cedric Itton, Kamar Roof. Kamar Roof, actually, you know, he scored a lot of goals last year. I think Cedric Itton's another one that I think, you know, we've seen so many players for the Old Firms over the years where they've not really done much in the first season, but kicked off once they've settled into the country, the culture. I think he's impressed in pre-season for the minutes that he's had. So I think if the time is for Alfredo Morelos to go, it's certainly a lot more comfortable now than it's been in previous seasons.
What do you think, William?
Yeah, that's a good point, right? Edward, he's getting quoted, right, for 20 million, right? And Morelos, they two are the best strikers in Scotland by a country mile. If Poro come up with the money, 20 million, well, that's fair. Edward's going for 20, and he's in his last year of his contract. And Morelos had a great season last season, season before, brilliant in Europe. He's at 20 million. If you want him, he's away. No, I mean, if Scala's a sign on a lot of people, I know he's only came yesterday, but we get that money, we can buy another good striker. You know what I mean? I don't want Morelos. I like Morelos, right? I think he's a great player. I want him to stay at Rangers. I want him to spearhead the Champions League, right? But if he's gone, he's gone. If Porto want him, pay the money, because he's worth 20 million every day of the week.
I'd like to see William round the negotiating table. I think he'd do a good job. He'd drive a hard bargain. Anyway, right, William, well, it's going to be an interesting one. It's guaranteed every window. It's one to watch. So we'll see how it goes. Thank you. 01419511025. Full time teaser back for a new season as we've got a good question. I'm not sure about you two on this one, I must admit. I'll give you the question next.
You are the voice of Scottish football. Call 01419511025. Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Mark Wilson and Andy Halliday are here. 01419511025. If you want to join in on the phones, if you would rather tweet your kindest regards to the team, it's at Clyde SSB. That's not the only address that you need to remember, though. I need you to write this one down: fulltime@clyde1.com. So the full time teaser is back for the new season, but we need your questions. That is the beauty of it. You provide the questions. We try and catch out the pundits with the answers between round about 7:30 every night and the end of the show. So it goes without saying, it's going to be a long old season. Get the questions in fulltime@clyde1.com. For instance, I mean, it can be about anything you like. Well, I mean, football, if you can keep it to football, that would be great. This lot have got
Island contestants.
This lot have got a big enough job in their hands answering the football questions without answering anything else. But here's an example. This one's been sent in tonight from Davey in Ardrossan. So thank you to Davey. Usual rules apply. If there's something wrong with the question, you blame David, you don't blame me. That's not changed over the summer, right? So question is this: 11 players who played at Euro 2020 and have played in Scotland. How simple is that?
Okay.
So 11 players who Barisic. Played at Euro 2020 and have played in Scotland. I should say, it doesn't include the Scotland team, obviously.
It doesn't include the Scotland
team? No, it doesn't include the Scotland team.
Like Barisic.
Yes.
Glenn Kamara.
Yes.
Philip Hollander.
Yes.
Yes, Andy. Keep going.
doesn't include the Scotland team.
That's fine, we'll leave it there. That's a good start. I'm happy with that as a start. 11 players who played at Euro 2020 and have played in Scotland. You've given us Barisic, you've given us Hillander and Kamara, yes?
Yep.
Good, it doesn't include the Scotland team. Full-time at Clyde1.com if you want to submit your questions. We do this every night, so even if you've got an idea for a question, whatever it is, fire it over and we will take a look at it. I think we do have Lewis on the line. We're going to speak to Lewis in just a second. Remember, it is 01419511025 to get in touch, or Twitter at Clyde SSB. In fact, Lewis is here. Let's go to Lewis. Lewis, what's your point tonight? Take it away.
Hello, panel.
Hello.
It was just to see what you thought. What I've been looking at is in the last couple of games in pre-season, we've been playing Hadji in midfield, and I was wondering if it's maybe to replace Kamara. So it was.
Andy, what do you think of that?
I'm not too sure. I don't think there's any bids that have came in that we've known of, so I don't think it's to replace Kamara as such. It's maybe just, you know, we spoke about it before. I think the time to implement new ideas and try and learn if people can play different roles is in pre-season, so maybe something they're trying out in Yanis Hadji. They've tried it with James Tavernier and Nathan Patterson playing in the same starting 11 and in different positions. So I think it's you know, Yanis Hadji, he's someone that can play a number of positions anywhere in the front three and in the midfield role. So I don't look too far into it. I think Glenn Kamara's one that I sort of mentioned about earlier. I think there's been a lot of speculation about who Rangers could lose this window, him being one of them, especially after a good Euros for Finland. So till the time comes, I think it's Rangers just experimenting with the players they've got.
Is that you bracing yourself, Lewis? I mean, do you expect Glenn Kamara to go? Is that what you're saying?
Well, I mean, yeah, I would say so. I mean, if you look how much Celtic got for Christopher Ayer as well, I mean, what was that? Was that 13.5 million?
Yeah.
So, I mean, if there's a player of Glenn Kamara's quality as well in midfield, I mean, he could easily play in a number of those English teams as well.
Yeah, I mean, Mark, it's time to dust off the old transfer window cliche. Someone's only worth what you're willing to pay for them. And, you know, if there's no bid there at the moment, and Andy says, I'm not sure there is concrete, but he's obviously been a very good player. Perhaps will attract interest.
Yeah, I think he will, and I think Rangers will get a great return from what they paid for him, no doubt about that. But I think, as I said earlier on, I think Rangers' resolve will be tested by a number of players. I think Kamara's right up there because of the Euros he had. I thought he was very good in that side, looked very composed and cultured and possession. And I think a lot of the bigger sides, just not in England, I think European sides will be looking at him as well. So it all depends how much Rangers value him to be part of the squad and how much they can actually afford to keep him. Or do they think that they've got that position covered because they've got a lot of players in there and they can afford to take the money if the bid comes in?
What else has jumped out at you, Lewis? The theme for tonight, if you like, has kind of been along the lines of what can you learn from pre-season? What have we learned? What are you taking away from it?
I think we need a number nine, a strong number nine to win headers in the box, because I don't know if you've noticed, we've been whipping a lot of balls into the box and nobody's getting on the end of them. I just feel like we need an old-fashioned number nine up front, somebody that we can depend on.
Does that fit what Rangers tend to do, Andy?
I would disagree.
Cedric Eaton, can he be that guy?
And I think Alfredo Morelos has scored quite a high number of headers in the box as well. I don't know if I quite agree with that. I think if there's areas of the pitch that Rangers could strengthen again. I mean, there is a question mark who plays that one of the wide right of the front three. Is that where they see Fashion Sakala if Alfredo Morelos stays? Yanis Hadji, Scott Wright, I'm not too sure. But I think they'll be pretty content in what they've got right now. I think the biggest problem they'll have is keeping a hold of some high profile players that might potentially leave.
Interesting, you ran through that list of players who might play on the right side and didn't mention James Tavernier.
Yeah,
is this not going to be him and Nathan Patterson? What have we seen?
Yeah,
what have we seen, and is that likely to continue?
They've experimented with it a couple of times over pre-season. Mark Warburton actually did that a few years ago. I don't know if you remember. There was a couple of times he played Lee Hodgson right back and James Tavernier in front of him. I personally don't think it's an area of the pitch that suits Tav. You know, everyone talks about how good he is attacking, his crosses into the box, his high number assists. I think a lot of that is from running from deep. I think it's completely different to play, you know, wide of your front three. You know, especially with the way Rangers play, you're picking up a lot of balls in the number 10 area in tight pockets, getting in the half turn, trying to slip strikers. You actually, and that is why Rangers play the way they do with their fullbacks high and wide, because That's the area of the pitch that they want people crossing the ball. So if actually Tav plays as well as a front three, it's going to negate all that away from his game that he's been so successful with over the last few years. I get why they're trying to do it, because Nathan Patterson, he's, like I said, he really broke through last year. I think he ended up, what was it, 8 or 9, 10 games maybe, but looked sensational in the games that he played. He looked like a man amongst boys in some games, and obviously he's went away with the national team as well and got some minutes. But you play one or the other for me. I don't think it's time to start switching systems. Rangers have played the same system since Steven Gerrard came in the door. They've been really successful with it last year. I don't think it's an area they'll exploit too further, but I might be wrong.
It's going to be pretty tough. A nice problem, I should say. But, you know, if this is, you know, there was a lot of hype around Nathan Patterson's performances when he came in, Mark. He was very much talked about during the Euros in terms of lots of people believing he deserved more game time. What is Steven Gerrard going to do? How do you manage that situation going forward?
I think it's quite simple at the minute. If he's playing a back four, you play your best right back. Your best right back's Tavernier. No matter what people think of Patterson, I think Patterson's a terrific prospect. I think he did great when he came into Rangers' side. I thought the limited time he got for Scotland, he looked fairly exciting. But if you're sticking to your system, then you play your best right back. I don't think you start going moving your right back to right midfield or right to a three up front. You've got so much success with that system and those players, then why would you change it? The only way I could see it possibly working is if for some reason in a game he decides to change to a three at the back, he could afford to sacrifice one centre half, and you play Tavernier the right of a three where he's almost playing as a kind of, you know, full back, and you play Patterson up. That's the only way I could see it fitting in.
What Kyle Walker has done in the past.
Exactly.
I guess
like that.
What we do with Kieran Tierney, that sort of
exactly
thing.
That sort of thing, where Tavernier can still get forward and deliver in the final third and Patterson plays a part. That's the only way I can see it. But if you stick to a four, you've got to play Tavernier.
Lewis, again, how much attention do you give to pre-season? Do you allow it to get you excited? Do you allow it to get you down? Or do you just wait for the real stuff to kick off?
Nah, I mostly wait till the real stuff to kick off. I just think it's just to get minutes into players' legs, test out a few things as well, give some of the youth players a shot, see if they can fit into the squad when the season starts.
Yep, going to be interesting, whatever way you look at it. Thank you very much, Lewis, in Port Glasgow. I wonder if there's something in the air in Port. I feel like a lot of the callers have been from the Greenock, Gourock, Port Glasgow area tonight. You're allowed to phone in from elsewhere. How are you two getting on with this teaser? Remember, it is 11 players who played at Euro 2020 and have played in Scotland. It doesn't include the Scotland squad. So you've got guys like Glenn Kamara, Filip Helander and Borna Barisic.
We got one each. Schmeichel.
Kasper Schmeichel, yep. Did very well, didn't he?
Mikael Lustig.
That's five. So you've got five down, six to get. We'll leave it there. Let's bring in John, who's a Celtic fan from Falkirk. What's on your mind tonight, John?
Evening, panel. I'm asking a few questions. Number one, would you play Edward on Wednesday night after his performances in the last two games? He's just not interested.
All right, let's start there, Mark Wilson.
Listen, I think it is a risk when you've got players who are perhaps getting their heads turned and have visions of leaving the club, and there's so much speculation. I think it is a risk to keep them in and about the squad. I said a couple of weeks ago that if I was a manager like Ange Postecoglou, I'd look to get that tied up, and the players away who want to be away and the guys who want to stay and part of the project, they'd be on my team. But Celtic are going through a difficult period at the minute, and there's no doubt in my mind Edward is still the best striker at the club. I would understand the argument more if Ayeti was maybe banging in goals and he looks sharp in pre-season, but he doesn't. So for me, I would take the gamble. I would play Edward and hope you get a decent performance out of him, because it can change the game right away. You know, set pieces or you know just that coolness in front of goal. Yes, he hasn't set the world alight in pre-season, but when he's the best striker at the club and your other strikers are a bit short in confidence, I would go with Edward in this one.
John, do Celtic have the options to just leave him out at the moment?
That's the risk you take, innit? Do you play him and he's like, take him off, he's not interested, then you've wasted 45 minutes maybe where another player could have done something? It's a big risk.
And the other one is Griffiths. You know, Griffiths is, who knows where his head is at the minute. He's missed a chunk of pre-season because of what went on. He's back now. He gets some minutes on Saturday. Is that enough to start him? I don't think so. I think he needs a decent run before you pitch him into such a game. So I think the only option is Edward.
What was your other question, John?
I've got eight players here that I think should be sold on. They're just dead wood. There's no fight in them and they're poor quality. I've got Bain, Marcus, Ralston, Mikey Johnson, who's never, he just doesn't do nothing for me, Vuitton, Cham, Edward and Griffiths.
I mean, it's quite a list, Andy. If you go through them one, I don't think we've got time to go through them one by one and argue about it, but one thing is for sure, getting rid of eight players like that is difficult. Yeah. Obviously, you just have to look at any level of football and look at the overhaul that Celtic have sort of tried to do this season. If you get rid of eight, to add that to the players you've already lost plus the ones that might still go, that's a lot to try and do in one summer, is it not?
Yeah, I mean, it's well, teams come in for some of the eight to try and sign them and so Celtic can get them off the wage bill. I'm not too sure. I'd be more inclined to worry about what they're bringing in from now to the end of the season. You know, you mentioned two goalies. They don't have do you play Conor Hazard for the full season? Is that an area of the pitch that they're going to go out and try and strengthen? So yeah, it's not quite as easy as that. I can understand John's frustration. I think that I mentioned it earlier, only five signings just now. That I thought Celtic would have made a lot more at this stage of the season, especially with a must-win game on Wednesday to take them through to the next round of the Champions League. But I expect to see a lot of movement, outgoings and in, players coming in from now to the end of the window.
I mean, by and large, Mark, that's one thing Celtic have still done quite well, is move players on, you know, for decent money. You look at Christopher Ayer recently and Jeremy Frimpong, obviously, was during last season and so on. You just can't move out everybody who's on the periphery, can you?
No, and plus, just put yourself in danger. Celtic's squad is weak enough as it is just now. And Andy's right, the players that are coming in just seem not to be coming in quick enough. Look, a lot of the players on John's list there, you'd probably argue if other guys came in, they wouldn't be in the starting lineup anyway. Of course, Edward. You always, if you had to have him in another contract, he'd play every week. Mikey Johnson, I feel it's a wee bit harsh on Mikey Johnson. I know he picks up injuries time and again, but he got real potential, this boy. I think he's a standout. But the others, you could probably say, if other guys are signed quickly, then they're the guys that would probably be filling the bench every week.
Right, go on then, John. I think you had three questions. Take it away with the final one.
I've got a few players, but the main two players that I would like to see at Parkhead is Jason McCarthy. He plays with Wickham. He's solid, good in the air, and he's a fighter. It's something that Celtic need. And the other player I've got is Grant Hall from Middlesbrough, who's a solid midfielder, central defender as well. What does the panel think of the two names?
What was the Middlesbrough on Grant Hall, did you say?
Grant Hall, yes.
Grant Hall and Jason McCarthy. Not ones I'm immediately... I would be lying, Mark, if I said I'd seen loads of them. But fair play to John, he's done his homework.
Well, John, I was just about to say, John, I'm not too familiar with these guys either. I'm curious, have you seen a lot of them? Do you, for them to fit the bill?
I've been stuck in the house for 2 years because of this pandemic, and I've watched football. You wouldn't believe the games I've watched. And I've seen these two players about four times, and they do the job. Gets the ball, clears it. If the ball's up the other end of the park, I've done my job.
I think Celtic could do worse than hire on you, John.
I was just going to say, that sounded to me like a job interview or a come and get me plea from John and Falkirk. Imagine we got John a job. I'd love to sit and watch and scout players. I'd like that. That'd make me feel like we had contributed to the football and society. One thing's for sure, Andy, whether it is those guys or not, clearly Celtic fans are looking for more business to be done. The fullback areas, would that be the next priority?
Yeah, I mean, I think the back five, goalkeeper included, is an area of the pitch. I think Celtic will maybe try and look to bring one or two more in from now to the end of the transfer window. They've obviously went out and paid, was it four or five million for Starfelt for Ruben Kazan? So they're certainly hoping that he makes a big difference. But yeah, expect to see a couple more. I don't even think there's much in terms of backup in the fullback areas that they've got either. And it's a long old season, so one or two injuries you know, you're looking at a 19-year-old and a 17-year-old centre-half potentially pairing up this Wednesday. So yeah, I think they need numbers as well as quality.
John, keep up the good work. Thank you. That was John in Falkirk. We're looking for the 11 players who played at Euro 2020 and have played for Scotland. It doesn't include the Scotland team. So let's go through the ones you've got.
Barisic,
Schmeichel, Kamara, Hylander and Lustig. Yes,
I have pulled one right out of the bag.
Well, I'll decide.
No, I'll decide Daniel Backman.
Oh, it is outstanding.
Who? Kelly Goey.
He's a man at the top of his game.
What? Who's he play for?
Austria. And he's at
he's
a man at the top of his game.
He's looking sharp. It was like 2 years ago
after pre-season. Yeah, yeah.
I've got three more, but have you got
six.
I'll let you. I've probably got the same one.
Take
so
one more.
You can go.
Pookie.
Timo Pookie. Yep. Well done. So you've got four to get. We'll leave it there and we'll get them next. 0141 951 1025. This is Scottish football's league leader, Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Just like that, we're into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard, back in its 2 hour version between now and the end of the season. Andy Halliday and Mark Wilson are here. It's 0141 951 1025 for you to get in touch. You can tweet us as well at Clyde SSB. The guys are going about their business on this full time teaser. So if you've never heard it before, if you're new to the show for the new season, here's the deal. You out there, you provide the questions, you send in a bit of trivia, and we try and catch out the pundits with the answers. So for instance, Davey and Ardrossan tonight sent in 11 players who played at Euro 2020 but not for Scotland and have played here in Scotland. So they're doing pretty well, I must admit. Just before the break, Andy Halliday, shout of the night, Daniel Backman. You got Borna Barisic, of course, at Rangers, Kasper Schmeichel, who was at Falkirk, Glenn Kamara, Rangers, Timo Pukki, Celtic, and Mikael Lustig, I think. You got Hylander as well, didn't you?
Yeah.
Any more at the moment?
On you go, Andy.
A certain Belgium double act.
Okay.
Jason Denier.
Mm-hmm.
Boyata. Forgot his first name.
Dedrick.
Dedrick. Mr. Boyata.
I thought it was Derek.
At least I've contributed there with his first name.
Nah, I can't take credit for that.
But it's a team effort.
Two more.
Two more to go. Any ideas? No. Any countries that you think?
I think Wales. No.
Andy was saying to me there must be a Welsh one in there.
You're not really pulling your weight on this question, if you ask me.
I've done my job. Been a pundit.
All right, you're just sitting back.
I signed off, aye.
All right, let's bring in Tommy in Doncaster and see what he's got for us. Take it away, Tommy.
Good evening, lads. Welcome back.
Thank you.
I took a wee drive up last night up to Ibrox. My young brother got me a ticket, and to see I come out of there buzzing. I was actually buzzing at half time, getting beat 1-0. Rangers were terrific up there last night, and some of the players, you know, just a joy to watch. We've got Kamara. You were talking about Kamara earlier, Gordon. Kamara's a Rolls Royce. I mean, I don't know where we got him from for 50 grand at Dundee, but what a player. I mean, he's proven in the Euros, but last night he's up against Vasquez and Isco, two Spanish internationals, and he's still a standout. They kind of get the ball off him. At one point there was three players in about him, still kind of get the ball off him, still deliver, but. And then you've got young Stephen Kelly, I'm sure Stephen Davis must have been his mother at some point, because he's just popped him out, and he's
steady,
another Stephen.
Steady, first night back, I think we're going to get taken off here. We're going to get the Davis family lawyer on the phone. I take it it was a tongue-in-cheek comment from Tommy. I don't mind it. I think we'll get away with it. Gordon DL said worse, Tommy. I think we're fine.
Yeah, I mean, he just looks like a miniature version of Stephen. You know, He's got pale skin and that ginger hair, same. And he just does everything right, you know.
I was hoping he was going to get away from like the genetic resemblance and talk about the football, Andy. But on one hand, I'm going to say, is he right? Is that accurate? And on the other, big boots to fill if that is the case.
It's big boots. It's like I said earlier, though, I don't think that Rangers will be putting too much pressure on him right now. But he's certainly doing everything they've looked for him to do. I think they've treated him, you know, you mentioned the word project earlier, Matt. I think Stephen Kelly's went through a wee project on his own. He's had a couple of seasons now out playing football, done really, really well. Like I said, Michael Beale, from the day he walked in the door, really fancied Stephen Kelly a couple of years ago. Probably realised
what do you mean
still...
by that? Do you as players just get that feeling?
You can just tell, yeah. Aye. You can just tell.
Teacher's
he's got
type.
The arm round him all right, the time. Okay. He's always having one-to-one chats with him, just certain instructions and coaching points here and there, and you could tell he could fancy him, because he's a really, really comfortable football player, technically really good, but someone for his size and his stature, similar to what I've said about Billy Gilmore before, he'll certainly put himself about and make himself a presence in the middle of the pitch. But yeah, really comfortable on the ball. I think he's went out a couple of years and showcased his talents. I even think at Ross County last year, I think he was getting
finished the season well, didn't he?
Finished the season really, really well. He was getting rave reviews at the end of the season. So I think Rangers will be really happy with his progression and his development. He's someone I do see sticking around and playing games this year. And you know, we mentioned it earlier about, you know, trying to fit Nathan Patterson and James Tavernier into the team. Rangers have played 50, 60 games over the last two or three seasons. So there's certainly a place there for these boys to get games. I think, even though I don't think he'll be the starting choice right back going into the season, I still see Nathan Patterson playing 20, 25 games. And I think Stephen Kelly could be another one that can play a lot of games this year.
Tommy, you'll have seen, I don't know if you're on social media, but this isn't anything new anyway. This debate has raged on every July since time began. If you get a good result in pre-season, some fans will get excited, a bit like yourself. You're saying you were buzzing even at half-time last night. And then people will be very quick to shoot you down and say, it's only pre-season, it doesn't count for anything, and so on. What would your response to that be?
Just looking at the players, Gordon. I mean, young Kelly just does everything right, and he does it at the right pace. I mean, his delivery to players is it's at the right spot for the player to run on to it and everything else. You know what I mean? And then you've got Kent last night, who sent their right back out for a pie at one point when he flew past him and then the two other defenders behind him. And I'm screaming, shoot. And he laid it off to Sakala. And then you talk about Sakala. The wee guy's just a joy to watch. Just big smile on his face, gives you 100%, non-stop running, and fast. And one of the things that hasn't been mentioned is he's jumping up with 6 foot defenders, you know, that are 6 inches bigger than him and getting up there. So, you know, maybe he was bouncing last night with the fact that it was his first game at Ibrox with some fans in. But to score your first ever goal for Rangers against Real Madrid, that's a nice notch on his bedpost when he gets home, you know what I mean? It's a cracking day for him. So I just looked at some of the players, and Scott Wright, what have we done with him? He bought him 6 months ago, and I've got my boy saying to me, he'll never make it. And I said to him, I would doubt it, because Gerrard doesn't make many dud signings.
I didn't know that it was goals that people notched on their bedpost. I'm going to need to ask Gordon
DL. I thought he was going to mention a certain player's mum.
Because I knew that Gordon DL's got loads of notches in his bedpost. I didn't realise it was all those goals he scored for Raith Rovers. I'll need to ask him about that tomorrow. Tommy, it was a... I'm not going to say it was a pleasure. I take that back.
Been enough of that.
I need to find Tommy, the chat. Tommy, it was good to speak to you. We'll hopefully do it again. Let's squeeze one more. Let's squeeze in one more. Kenny is on the line. Kenny, follow that.
I'm trying my best, mate. I'm in stitches. I'm just actually thinking that Stephen Davis might be me and Andy's parents, being blue and maroon. You know what I mean?
Not right. Enough. Enough about Stephen Davis's whereabouts. Right. What about? I'm sure you're on with the Hearts, the maroon tinted specs on. Andy Haldy's in the studio. Kenny, how are you feeling about the season ahead?
Chuffed to bits. And can I firstly say, Andy, thanks for the Scottish Cup final talk for my daughter Tanya. She is absolutely delighted with it, mate.
No problem, mate.
Delighted. She's delighted. I'm looking forward to the season ahead, and I think Andy made a comment about a young lad. We're all going to praise the usual, the old firm teams and that, and the youngsters coming through, but I think Andy might have seen a wee bit of different thing at the Tynecastle with, fingers crossed, with the youth development. You know, we're letting a lot go, and Josh Doig springs to mind. But I would say the young lad, Pollock, I think you made a comment about him, Andy, being a very, very good prospect.
Andy?
Yeah. Yeah, very, very good prospect. And what impresses me most about him, he's a really willing learner. He's a good kid. He trains really, really hard, but he's always looking to improve. And, I'll be honest, you know, looking when he started training this year, you see a young player, you come into training, he's impressing, but you think, oh, he's going to go out and loan this year and do really well. He's done that well that I just don't think you can loan him out. I think he's got to be a part of the squad. He's obviously brilliant to see he got his first senior goal. I think actually when he came on against Stirling Albion, he gave the game a real boost of energy, a real bit of impetus in the game, and he's followed that up with another start the other night, and he's really, really impressive.
So for anyone who's not seen, I mean, what position does he play? What type of player is he?
He's probably a more natural attacking midfielder, but he's been playing in the midfield role, someone that he's full of energy, comfortable football player in tight pockets, but his real strength is arriving late into the box. Third man runs, he's got a knack of being in the right place at the right time. That's why he's obviously ended up getting his first goal last week. Unlucky not to score the other night as well, but yeah, looks like a real exciting prospect.
That's what I love about the new season, Mark. There's still that air of optimism and enthusiasm. We've not quite all fallen out with each other yet. which teams are going to be good, which teams are going to be bad, who are going to be the breakthrough stars? Is it going to be a new signing? Is it going to be an academy product that comes in and sets the league alight? It's exciting times.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I think fans do get excited. Fans love marquee signings coming in. They love their clubs spending millions of pounds to bring new players in and seeing how they adapt. But they love nothing more than seeing academy players come through the system, get their chance and light up the season. Andy's right. The actual senior players sometimes need the young boys to pull them along. And he seems one that the Hearts fans could get excited about this season.
Kenny, thank you. We'll have to leave it there because the show is almost done. But it was nice to speak to you. 01419511025. Write it down for tomorrow. We will be back at 6 and we're looking forward to speaking to you then. Let's try and round off this teaser, and please send your questions in to fulltime@clyde1.com. Questions like this: 11 players who played at Euro 2020 and have played in Scotland but not for Scotland. So you've got Daniel Backman of Austria, great shout. Dedrick Boyata, Jason Denier, Borna Barisic, Kasper Schmeichel, Glenn Kamara, Timo Pukki, Mikael Lustig, Philippe Helander. The two that you don't have, the last two in my list as well. You've almost done this in order somehow. Maybe you saw my bit of paper before we came in.
Oh, well, if we did, yeah, we forgot to, because I can't think.
What countries? You're not a gaze a country.
Wales.
Oh, I knew it! I told you, I knew it! Did he play for Aberdeen?
Yes.
I said Aberdeen, but I don't know. I don't know his name. Goalkeeper?
Yes.
Joe Lewis?
No.
Oh, Danny Ward.
Danny Ward. That was a team effort. You'll give Wilson a bit of credit for that one. And the last one? Yeah. Former Rangers player.
Don't tell me I played with him.
No.
But Wales as well?
No. Slovakia.
Vladimir Weiss?
Vladimir Weiss.
Was he in the squad?
I think he came on for briefly, I'm sure. Yeah, according to Davy and Abdrossan.
I can't believe he's still playing.
I know, I played against him.
There we go.
You sure? Check that.
No, I'm not sure at all. It's Davy's fault. Davy's question.
I didn't even recognise him at the Euros either.
Right, well, you two can look it up while I round off these. Right, thank you, Mark Wilson and Andy Halliday. And thanks to you. What a pleasure it was to be back here until 8 o'clock. Brilliant to be back, and what an exciting season we have ahead. We're going to continue the build up tomorrow at 6. Of course, there's European qualifiers as well, so lots happening. You'll be in the company of Gordon DL and Roger Hanna. In the meantime, stay right there because Callum Gallagher is up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Call Robert Accident Repair. Accident not your fault, you'll be back on the road within 24 hours.